just one of the pleasures I have every day is to teach one lesson a day. Unfortunately, today, that's going to mean I'm going to miss a share. So I'm looking forward afterwards when you're going to repeat to me the share, Rabbi Isai. It gives me great, great comfort. Rosh Hashiva of Greater Washington, anybody who's looked around shul notice boards in the last week or so, or looked at the Hamadiyah back pages, would have seen that Lapliansky has, I think, spoken at every Moisad, or will be speaking at every Moisad, and it's been a great comment, and I appreciate the organization, and Weingarten from bringing Rashida in. I very much appreciate it, and as I say, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be here, and I look forward that you'll turn it over to me. But this is a very special occasion. Please appreciate it on my side. To hear Rosh Hashiva, Drush of Rosh Hashiva is a different level than some Drush. Thank you very much.
It's very nice to be in the Komos HaTorah and to see young people learning. It's certain chiyas, a certain gishmak. I wanted to go through a certain nekuda over here. I guess it's sometimes overlooked, and it's in what happened over here with Yehuda and Yosef, some particular area that I think would have relevance for us. And the we have a certain climax over here of Yehuda standing up to Yosef. And understanding, we know what's happening, but as far as Yehuda is concerned, Yosef is the Shalat al Hakol. He's the all-powerful king. He's accused them, and he has to come and argue, and he's decided to argue with him. So Chazal bring a pasuk here. It says in Mishle, Tapuch Ezov v'mashchiyo is kesev, daber dibur aloifanov, that the pasuk praises when a person says things, I guess in a structured way would probably be the best way of translating it. Ma ofen zeh, mare panim mikol tzad. Just like when you turn a wheel, every side gets seen. So too, kacha edvar shehuda nirim lechol tzad b'shosh kibim yesef. Every aspect of Yehuda's diburim came across the Yosef. That's basically what the Medrash says. And it brings a quote from Akilah Sager. Not quite clear what's the intent of Chazal over here. What are they trying to bring out? What's the point of what are they teaching over here? What are they learning over here? So let's first of all, a second, explain. When we say that somebody says something and brings out every facet of every point that he's making, what exactly are we complimenting over here? What exactly are we pointing out that's different than any other time? That he said a lot? In other words, is it means, well, he said everything. It's not always a compliment. Talking a lot is not a compliment. So what are Chazal compliments? So let's understand something. We can approach problems, issues, with emotion. And the mile of that is that emotion, it pushes a person very strongly to do something. So if you're upset at someone, you're angry at somebody, you're enthusiastic about something, it gets the engine hot and a person goes. That's when there's an emotional drive that is getting a person very excited. When a person speaks with seichel and with das, it's collected, it's cool, but there's a lot more of the emes that comes to light. And so a person can speak. Speech is a vehicle for either expressing your emotions or for bringing out a certain clarity understanding. It could be a vehicle for the mouth, for the mind, or for the heart. And there's room for each one. When a person davens, it's a vehicle for your heart, primarily. When a person learns, it's a vehicle for your mouth, for your mind. That's what the mouth is there for. So the mouth is a vehicle for one or two things. Both of them have midas. Both of them have at times when that's what's appropriate. What happens to us many times in when we have a problem with midos, emotions, is that once we're in an emotional state of mind, we lose ourselves and the cycle turns off. So a lot of times we regret what we did. When we did something out of excitement, out of anger, out of passion, whatever it is. And the reason is because, and then we say to ourselves, what was I thinking? And the answer was, I wasn't thinking. And not because I'm so much smarter an hour later, but it's almost like a valve where you turn it off, it's either onto this or onto this. And if the emotions are on, the mind is not on. The mind is on, the emotions are not on. This was a situation where Yosef was bringing all the accusation to them. Now, let's go back to something in Yosef HaTzadik. And again, whenever we talk about Shvatim, Gedol HaOlam, we talk about it with one hand, understanding that these are giants, and that we don't even begin to understand the full share claim of the person. On the other hand, if the Torah points out shortcomings, we need to, first of all, the Torah pointed out, and what we need to do is say, we need to apply it for us the way it works for us. So, kas is a bad midah, and where the Torah says, where Chazal said that Moshe Rabbeinu came, they told us, came, they kas. Moshe Rabbeinu's kas did not look like our kas. But on the other hand, the Torah, and Torah Shabbat Peh, gives us a certain Hagdara, and we need to adapt it to us. So if it says, then we apply it to our world the way we are. Yosef, it says, Vahu Na'ar. So the Sfarim says, Na'ar is Miloshin his Orus. When a person goes to different tkufas in life, and when a person is a Na'ar, is a teenager, the kochas hanefesh that are working are the kochas hanefesh of his orus. All of a sudden, a child was a child for 13 years, and you know, was doing what a child does, and all of a sudden, tremendous kochas awaken a person, tremendous passions, tremendous ambitions, tremendous desires. And they drive a person to many great things. And that's why Hashem gave us those kochos. But those kochos have in themselves a limitation in that there's no equal das functioning while those emotional kochos are working. Now, Yosef's nida, the Torah says, and that's as far as it explains, is nar. In other words, he's somebody who is driven. And that's why when he saw something not right, he went and had to say something. That's the Korach of Yosef. The Korach of Yehuda is facing off Yosef. And we have to understand that when the Torah puts different people facing off against each other, that facing off is going to be a facing off of what they represent, of what their essence is. Yehuda spoke Dava Dava Aleifanov. In other words, structured. You know, if a person responds to anger and to accusation, with anger and accusation, then you don't get anywhere. Yudas says, let's go through this step by step. And step, step, step. And that's what Chazal Amadish over here. They say, that Tafuch Ezo Mashkias Kesev, Dabe Vibor Alofanov, that Ma Oifen Hazeh. In other words, seichel requires that a person see things from different sides, different aspects, and then is able to resolve a problem. So it was the koyach of nairus versus the koyach of Seichel, and that's how Seichel was able to conquer, in a certain sense, the Koch of Nairus. Yosef was the one who lived in Mitzrayim, and who Yosef? The same tzaddik. But Yehuda was sent to front of Goyishna to make a yeshiva. Because the Koach HaNefesh of somebody being able to do everything different than anybody else, he's Yosef HaTzadik in Mitzrayim, that's a certain Koach that belongs in Nairus. But the other Koach of Yehuda, of a yeshiva, is a very different Koach. I'd like to spend a few minutes talking about it. One of the reasons why learning is hard for us, besides the fact that it is hard, but at the time when a person is in his prime of youth, a person is energetic, a person is restless, a person is emotional. And learning itself is a discipline that forces you to sit. It's a discipline that forces you to ask yourself to say something. One of the things that took a while for, you know, to begin to understand, especially the Derech HaLimud we had in Yeshiva, where Reb Nachum's Derech was mostly not to come out with a Yesod, but to understand a machlokes of Rishonim, to understand two sides of an issue, not to resolve an issue. I remember there was an old man, I think he was a retired mohel from America, who came to live in Yerushalayim, and he would come in to listen to shiur. He never had yeshiva education, really. I mean, he was a fairly learned person, but never, I don't know where he came from, I have no idea what his background was, but yeshiva was never, he never learned the literature for sure. And I remember he once was a Dharamsman, I even remember which sugya was. He went into Reb Nachum to speak later after yeshiva, he was very disturbed, he walked out and said, Reb Nachum said, I'm right. Wow, what? He said, well, I worked out his whole shir that he's explaining Rava, and the halach is like a bayah, not like Rava. And Nachum said, it's right, the halach is like a bayah, not like Rava. And this person's mentality was that the purpose of a shir is to determine what's right. The purpose, the Derech HaLimud was to understand the two sides involved. I remember Yevamos, Reb Nachum once said a shir, not answering Kiryas Kasha, but explaining what the Kasha is and what it's not. It was something where the understanding of Tzadim as real Tzadim was most important. It's not just sort of, okay, it's a mikra, that's the way, that was his Derech HaLimud. It goes to the heart of what Seichel is. The Dabra Diba Leifanov, Ma'oifel Zemara Ponim Mikol Tzad, Seichel that doesn't take into account all Tzadim of it is not Seichel. There's a fascinating halakha chesh mishpat when somebody's a dayan in a din Torah. He's supposed to, at the end, say over both Tzadim of the Tainus. He's supposed to say over both Tzadim. In other words, and it's not just, it's to get clear that, you know, to get clear what was said. And secondly, he has to be able to understand the two tzadim. He has to see both sides until he's machriya. So something about learning is, it's counter almost to who we are at this tkufa. It's asking us for patience when we are raring to go. It's asking us for second thoughts when we want to act even before we thought once. That's the nature of it. When you get into a fight with somebody and the person said nasty things and is really blowing up, for you to stand and say, well, let's think through what you said. You made point A about me, point B, point C, point D. Point A you're based on this, point B based on that, point C based on the other thing. This might be right. This, I think, is not right. This is a matter of opinion. I mean, we would think it's a Purim spiel. We wouldn't think that it goes anyplace. But what keeps, what diffuses a person, this is talking about a midah situation, what diffuses a person is when you're able to take emotion out of it and bring it to sample. Which, emes is something that starts with seichel. It ends with emotion. We need to commit ourselves to emes with passion. But what's the emes? The Chazon Ish writes in a letter, it's in his third chelet, the one of the bigger, the one's published later a bit. There was some sort of issue in Yerushalayim. There's always issues in Yerushalayim. It's you know, there's always some sort of terrible thing happening and some great tragedy occurring and some great counter demonstration. I mean, whatever it was, the context exactly is not written in the letter, but the Hanoim Yerushalayim asked of him to participate in some sort of protest or another, whatever it is. And the Chazon Ish writes in a letter, he says, the heart of every Yirei Shemayim, of every God-fearing Jew, sympathizes with what you're saying and feels the way you feel. He says, but what can I do? He said, I've learned Torah through such difficulties that I've taught myself to act with seichel and not with emotion. And the seichel just doesn't agree. And that was the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was kuloi das. It's not that the passion, there was no passion, but das came first. And once das decided something, passion kicked in afterwards. My Rebbe Chaim Shmulevitz used to say shmuzen. He was known for shmuzen. It started when the Chaim Zev was nifta, I came a few years later. And it's interesting because he would speak about topics that may or may not have been relevant to the yeshiva at the time, but he spoke about topics that were life topics. And I don't think we appreciate it enough as young people. A lot of times we fretted, why doesn't he address this issue in yeshiva, that issue in yeshiva? But the truth was he was addressing bigger issues. And he had a shmooze that he would repeat quite a few times about behilus. Behilus means acting out of impulse. And it was one of his strong themes. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that Yerushalayim was a city with a lot of seething emotions, the same Shemayim, but many times those emotions led to things that were less than ideal or counterproductive or whatever it is. And it was a big thing by him to speak about the Behilus and make his mark about it. He said over a Gemara, and it's interesting how he gave it a twist. He said, there's a Gemara to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara's context is, how come we're answered, they're not answered, we're not answered, the tefillos of the previous generation was answered, the Gemara answers Mesiris Nefesh. Previous generation had Mesiris Nefesh. Gemara brings a story about Rabbi Yochanan where he saw somebody dressed with a coat that was not, it's the thing was red, he tore it off, and he realized there was a goy, and he was fined 400 zuz, and he asked her name, she said, Musan. Musan means calm, collected. He said, Musan, you costed me 400 zuz. Now, this is the story. So the Pashta shot in Mesiris Nefesh was that he might have gotten killed for it, or who knows what, you know, I mean, if he attacked the wrong person with right connections, he would be gone. Reb Chaim said the Mesiris Nefesh was the behilus. In other words, for Reb Yochanan to act impulsively, it was a conscious act of behilus. And that's what he said. That's what Igmar emphasizes, musan. In other words, he said, giving up the midah of Messinas costed me 400 zuz. And because when a person acts out of that, then a person is bound to be wrong. I want to bring it back to the starting point. Every tkufa in a person's life has its significance, its importance. A car without an engine is not going anywhere. A car with an engine and no brakes and no steering wheel is crashing. Not clear which one is better to own, but I guess if you're given the choice, you better sit in the car that's not going anywhere than the one that's headed down a cliff. No, going nowhere is not a mile of sitting. The kochas hanefesh of a person's tkufa of nairus are the most powerful kochas hanefesh we have in terms of drive. The ambitions to become a golden Torah. The drive to take control of himself, to become a good person, a big person, to do things, to be upset at things that are wrong. Those are extraordinary kochas hanefesh. And that's why Prisco is a Nairus. There's a positive note to it in terms of his onus, in terms of the person pushing himself. But yeshiva, the learning in yeshiva besides the mitzvah Talmud Torah, besides knowing God loves them, besides all that, I'm talking about the etzem act of learning, both in terms of talking yourself down to the next sefer and keeping yourself in one place for a long time, and both in terms of thinking things through methodically, thinking things through in a way that you see davar davar lefanach. That chinuch is there. The reason why it's the core part of our chinuch is because it helps give us the tool of putting seichel and das on top of the hisoros of regish. It's the car with the engine that you put in the brakes and the steering wheel. And it's a struggle because we don't want that, because in a way, but if we look at it differently, if we understand it's the way of channeling it to bring out the best, if we understand that when we act out of regish alone, then we end up no place. It's true in everything. A person gave, you know, let's talk about something, in America it's a, I guess, more of a topic, or I don't know, you know, there's, the Torah gave us, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in us the concept of marriage. It taps into some of the strongest cults on after a person, and we, Yidden, B'nai Torah, gave it the tzura of having seichel first. When you talk about a person first suggests a shidduch, it means we put seichel on top of a very powerful force in a person. And we say, is this the person that I can build a home with? It's not, of course a person needs to build a kesha, but the seichel, if the seichel is not there first, then the regish is blind. The koichas agufa are blind. So what we do is we put das and seichel. We don't reject the kochas ha-nefesh, but we put strong brakes and a steering wheel to take it where we want it to go. When a person interacts with other people, so a person who's very emotional, no seichel, has very strong charm and very strong fights, bouts of strong anger and upset, and bouts of uncontrollable chavashach and so on. When a person puts seichel and das on it, a person who says, this is too much, this is not warranted, this is right, and then the river flows in the way that is beneficial for everyone. A raging torrent of water is as destructive as a drought. If we understand ourselves, understand the exercise of learning does that. You look at a sugya, and it's machlokis. We don't learn piskei halachas. And I remember, it's interesting, you know, there were tkufis when I lived in Kosti Barsamea, and you'd get older people, you would get, who would come in to learn for some tkufa or something, and one of the people for whom it was hardest to learn would be doctors. Lawyers had a much easier time, and doctors did not. Doctor said, okay, Rabbi, what's the bottom line? Tell me the bottom line, and let me memorize it. So do we do this or do that? I told him the bottom line is the middle, not the bottom line. The bottom line is the two sides of the argument. And it was, it was something contrary to what he'd been doing. Learning to understand tut studen, and it's nogea in everything, being able to do it, that's what we do. So I guess it's something to at least understand ourselves, understand who we are at this tkufa in our lives, understand the tremendous potential of that tkufa. Yosef HaTzadik is capable of doing something, he's capable to stand against all his brothers with the emes, he's capable to survive Mitzrayim alone against everybody else. But until Yehuda is not mashlit the seichel and das on him, Yehuda is the one who makes a Beis Medrash. Beis Medrash is a place of Yishva Das. Beis Medrash is a place where you learn to put a rein on it and have seichel and das for it. That the shleimus and the productivity comes when the two comes together, and we should be zeicher to use this tremendous skuf in our lives when our rikshei das, our emotions of and ambitions of becoming close like a becoming big people, realizing our potential, doing great things, come full force, And the seichel and the das, the discipline we're created with learning, is able to channel those forces, to make it productive, to be a break that they're not destructive, and to channel them that they become productive to become our full potential. That's love.
Wait a second, we still have 5-6 minutes to break. I want you to get kids on the chavrusos, and you should not be on the chavrusos.